Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Early start on a New Year's Eve, 2 o'clock start. We'll go until 5, and then we'll hand it off to the CFP. Everyone out there knows I love college football. I love the college football playoff. I love the changes in college football over the years, as I correctly predicted years ago. We'll get into that. That is a discussion John and I had probably 5 years ago now.
You're still going to be wrong.
No, I'm not at all, but we'll get to it. We got a lot of Raider stuff to get to. We haven't gotten John's take, and maybe he has no take. Maybe I'm one of the few, I'm not, that looks at the Max Crosby thing last weekend as just absolute ridiculous action by the organization, more by Max. We'll get into, again, the forces that sort of reign behind the scenes that maybe we don't know about with the Raiders. And like I said, CFP, we got a game coming up tonight, 3 more tomorrow. So lots of stuff to get to. What's up, John?
Nothing much.
And John Von Tobel is here. I didn't even introduce him. John Von Tobel, of course, from VSiN. He's part of Cofield and Company. He's part of ESPN Las Vegas. He's got his own show over at VSiN and also here on the weekends, JVT Saturday Football Preview Show on or at the Superbook inside Westgate.
That's right. And maybe changes are becoming soon. Very excited. I'm fine. I'm not a big New Year's Eve guy, so today feels just like another day. But I know a lot of people are not treating it that way, obviously.
I'm probably a bigger, well, by the sound of it, I'm a bigger New Year's Eve guy than you are, but right. I've gotten a lot of resistance at home. So I don't think we have anything planned.
Yeah.
I'm usually ready to go. Like, I don't go crazy. I'm not fired up to go down to the Strip. Don't mind being off the Strip and watching the fireworks, but yeah, I don't know what the hell's going to happen when I get home.
Yeah, no, I don't
know.
We're off
a little bit early today, you know, 5 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock, so...
I'm also,
and your wife is not into. Well, you have 2 kids who are still young too.
Yeah,
so you got to figure out a plan there.
Yes, very true. So, and I'm also not a fireworks guy.
I don't like fireworks.
So it's a combination of 2 things. I usually always and will tomorrow have to work as well on New Year's Day. So it's not like I really can like go crazy tonight anyway.
It's a good point. In the sports world, and especially in the position you're in, you know, you're kind of a low-level person over at VSiN. You're required to work. Actually, is everyone? I took a shot at you there, but is everyone working?
Yes.
On New Year's? Oh, they got the main people.
Yes.
I mean, these are the days when you should be on.
Oh, I mean, it should be our busiest days, to be quite honest.
I mean, frankly, we should be on as well. Lotus is very nice in granting us a couple of days off. Mm. But in the sports world, when sports happen and you need to react or preview, you need to be on, regardless of what day of the week it is.
Is anything happening tomorrow that we would have to preview and then react to the next day?
Right, kind of freaking big.
College football playoff semifinals getting set here in the next 24 to 48 hours. I'm down with it, though.
So we got a bowl game going on right now, Las Vegas Bowl. Decent crowd. It looks like there's some people in the upper levels, maybe pushing past 30,000.
Not bad.
I don't know that we'll do it today, but there's been a lot of weird judging of what college football is. And I'm gonna start off the show by saying this. I grow weary of all the complaints about NIL, player movement, the bowl games, the CFP format, the Notre Dame idiots. I grow tired of it, but I understand it's what makes college football as big as it is that it's constantly moving. But the complaining does wear on me, and I just want everyone to remember that come January 20th, there ain't no college football until August. And maybe appreciate what we have. Yeah, it always needs to be tweaked. It always needs to be adjusted. Things are changing, but I really get annoyed at the lack of appreciation. Like, when did and we're driving it. It's a lot of the media, right? And I try to push back on it. When did it become almost a bigger topic to complain that we're getting football?
Well,
like football, I mean, we can be nuanced and ask for the tweaking, but it's like, do we want it or not? It just, like, bowl games are still good. They're still entertaining. I feel like there's this overarching thing all the time, like, they don't mean anything. But then yesterday, apparently, USC losing to TCU means a lot. And the SEC not winning in bowl games, now it means a lot. What do we want with bowl games?
Well,
we want to get rid of them?
I mean, I was going to say, you're talking to the wrong guy. I wouldn't lose a wink of sleep if we were to get rid of them.
Do you bet them?
Not really.
Or do you think they've become unbettable?
They've become completely unbettable. I mean, you can snag closing line value here and there and just hope that you're on the right side of it, but you have a couple of these games. I mean, you talk about the level of play, which I don't really think is particularly great, but let's take this. I think it's the Citrus Bowl, Michigan and Texas, for example. Michigan has three NFL guys that aren't playing for him, among some others. Texas, 7 of their 11 starters on defense are playing today. Multiple skill position guys aren't out there. The only dude that's out there of note is Arch Manning. They have turnover on the staff. Obviously, they fired their defensive coordinator. These teams are shells of themselves. Why do I want to watch that? Why do I want to guess that?
It's still football, but I'm not. But my judgment from it is not going to be Michigan or Texas is great.
Sure.
Like, that's a great setup for Texas because you know what's going to happen. If Texas loses, then Sark sucks and it's another loss on the SEC record. Like, can we think a little bit of what's happening in each one of these games? Do these games mean – I still want to watch them, right, because it's still football. But do they really mean anything in the big picture of setting records or, hey, this is an accomplishment or a coach can't coach, he needs to be fired? Cut it out.
I mean, I understand. It's funny. I was talking about this, so I have a, I guess they're a colleague. Kendall Valenzuela does SiriusXM Fantasy. We do a weekly with her. I go on her show every week, and she's from Arizona State, or she went to Arizona State, excuse me. And so I was laughing because we had her on today, and she had her Arizona State shirt on, and obviously Arizona State right now is playing in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl against Duke.
Probably a fun game. I love El Paso. Can't wait for El Paso to be in the Mountain West. I love my trip down.
I was gonna say,
cool stadium, too.
They're down 35-32 right now. But my whole point is, you know, we were talking off the air about, you know, I asked her, I was like, do you care about this game? I mean, last year you were in the college football playoff, and now you're in the Sun Bowl with Duke, and it doesn't really matter. She's probably about my age. I don't know. Like, I think probably maybe a little bit older, a little bit younger. Like,
so there's in that a kind chance she's already kind of bitter?
Maybe, yeah. But she seemed to be
don't
into
be
it.
Bitter,
but,
and that's coming from me.
But to your point, it does vary. Like, I just don't really like these games a lot. I also, selfishly, because of our job, like, all right, cool. Like, this is the time where I turn the page on watching New Mexico Boise State last night or caring about those sort of things in college basketball or the NBA. But to the point, I told Stormy Bonatoni, my co-host, this the other day, I have sat down and watched one bowl game all the way through. It was UNLV Ohio, because I know what that means for the program. Obviously, I helped cover it with you guys and whatnot. Being from here, going to the school, all those sort of things, those do matter. And so I have a curiosity as to how they will perform, and the impact of a victory there would be pretty good for a UNLV program that does not regularly go to bowl games. So I think it does vary. Also, UNLV was not Texas in that they were dealing with a mass exodus of players. A lot of people stuck around for the most part. So I think each game does vary, but I would argue with you to the point of to not understand, at least somebody like me who looks at teams who have an exodus of players and everybody's gone, and to just say it's football. You know, sometimes it's not good football just because it's football, and I feel like that's a valid criticism of what these bowls have become.
Can you remember the year that we had the conversation about how college football was going to get more wide open? There's going to be a lot more people coming to the table. More schools would have a chance at a national championship.
Yeah, you skew this every time we talk about it.
What did I say at the time?
You said that there we listed off certain schools.
Yeah, you had like five schools or six schools
and
that,
you
that
said,
would win it every year, basically.
Yes, and you have yet to get a school to win a national championship.
But it wasn't going to happen overnight.
Sure, and by the way, it was like 2020.
You have to admit, look at the progress. Three of the best stories in the Elite Eight are schools that were super long shots in the past, like even Miami, the way it was struggling, and Miami really couldn't illegally cheat anymore. It was being watched. Mm-hmm. Texas Tech can now legally cheat, right? Indiana certainly is legally cheating. Well, because in the past it was illegal. Yeah. Now that was part of my argument. There was a group of like 7 or 8 schools that could get away with it because the NCAA was afraid of it. And like every 15 years they ding them.
Uh-huh.
But the rest of the schools are like, okay, we know what's going on, but like, if I'm at Illinois or I'm at BYU, like we might have some funding, but we can't do it because they will come after us. And like I think Indiana and Mendoza is the best story in this Elite Eight. I think Miami is a tremendous story because it was really dead because it couldn't illegally cheat anymore because that they were going to be under the specter of the NCAA. And Texas Tech is also a great story. All three schools show teams in the Big 12, the ACC, and the middle and the bottom of the Big 10 that you can dream if you spend some money and, most importantly, in the case of Indiana, you nail the quarterback,
yeah,
and you have to nail the coach. You got to get a good coach. Yeah. But if you get a good coach, you too can be in the national tournament, which I think is great for college football. It has opened up wider. We'll see if someone breaks through. So if Indiana breaks through, are you going to have – is it just going to be like, oh, well, they bought themselves at the table? Because that was kind of my original point, is that NIL and the portal was going to open things up in terms of spreading out players, and everyone could spend some money, if not money, right, up to the level of the big boys.
Wait, you're right. And my argument was – and no, because I won't do that, because my argument was, that's great, but the big boys still have deeper coffers, and they'll be able to outspend them and perform better.
Do they?
We'll see.
How deep are the coffers at Alabama right now?
AJ
McCarron was complaining early in the year that they didn't have enough money.
No,
and
that's
I'm telling
one.
You, there are. This is another one, and I'm not going to do it again because I'm being kind of hurtful, and I put out the multiple videos on this. And I'm going to go to the level of like the middle of a Power Four conference. I'm going to repeat it again. I don't care if Ames, Iowa has fallen behind. Up yours, because you took advantage of being grandfathered in, and now you can't compete. Too bad. And I don't care if Tuscaloosa looks up and are like, oh my God, how did USC get the number one class in the country? Because they're in LA. Economics change. Times change, right? The deepest by the way, the deepest coffers also, they help your chances. They don't guarantee you the national title like they used to, because that really was the case in the good old days that everyone longs for.
Yes. Now,
which that drives me nuts. Like, they weren't that good.
Now, if you talk about what I'm looking at here, the whole point here is that, yes, I think you're right. And I think Alabama is actually not a poor example, but I got into it with a lot of Alabama fans when Saban left, because you already heard the reports about NIL around that time. And my whole point was, if you're not going to spend, sorry, people don't want to go to play in Tuscaloosa for less money than what you're getting to go play anywhere else. Having said that, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia to an extent, those are programs that still have money that are among the blue bloods that I think are still able to outspend. I mean, Oregon for sure is going to be up there. So, yes, Indiana's a great story. They nailed the coach. They paid him a lot of money. They're getting guys to go and perform there. But at the end of the day, we still have yet to see if Indiana, outside of the Big Ten championship game, will be able to do it, because the Big Ten, or at least the schedule they had, was not particularly great. And we're still, if we're using like betting odds or anything like that as a minor projection of what could happen, it still seems somewhat likely that we're staring at an Oregon-Ohio State national championship. And it might be great, like you said. You nail the quarterback, you get the coach, and all those things open up for you. Who's to say Indiana's not in the midst of a run in which they, for 2 years, found two really good quarterbacks?
I agree.
And who the hell knows what's going to happen for them moving forward? Yep. And the Oregons and Ohio States of the world are still going to run roughshod and win national championships over and over again. It might be crazy. It's nuance.
My whole
we
point
might
is,
both be right.
It, yeah. I mean, it wasn't going to happen overnight, but I think the progress has actually happened pretty quickly. And I don't think, I mean, you do, but I don't think we're sort of pointing the light at what's changing here. And we can certainly see it at a lower level, right? We read a tweet from a UNLV fan yesterday who was addressing fellow UNLV fans who were like, oh, Calandria, they're all mad. And he's like, this is the greatest time in UNLV football history. None of this would be possible without NIL and the portal. You know? I mean, even looking around, like, you know, I was doing a little more research on Calandria today. Anthony Calandria, the UNLV quarterback who's leaving, and the schools I've seen pop up, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Florida State, Tennessee, and then Central Florida. And you're like, wait, Central Florida was at the same level as UNLV 6 years ago, but they were graced by getting into the Power Four. And now the Central Floridas of the world, if they can spend up to, I mean, they don't have to spend $20 million. Frankly, from what I was hearing yesterday on an interview from an Indiana expert, he was saying that Indiana is actually not at the same level, you know, at that $20 million max yet. Like, they're spending good money.
Yeah.
They might be spending $15 million on the roster.
So, I mean, they have money.
I just think these are times of hope, and I don't see all the negativity, and I've already adjusted, so I'm waiting for everyone else to adjust. But we keep getting this pablum from media people, and especially the coaches. I'm really tired. I think the coaches need to step back and go, okay, I make a lot of money. We get a lot of funding, and a lot of it is because people love college football. If you keep banging them over the head about college football sucks, I mean, I guess maybe they would say, well, that we're trying to make it good because it's going to go bye-bye if it continues like this. I think their negativity actually does hurt fans' mentality about what's going on right now, and then maybe they don't want to tune in. Maybe they don't want to go. I don't even know what this one means. I keep seeing the last couple of days, hey, you can get into these college football playoff games for like $35 to $100. I look at that and I'm like, good, I can afford it. That's a great thing. And
people are complaining about that?
It's being basically positioned as not that popular. Like, they're not playing at the old Cotton Bowl, right? Miami and Ohio State tonight. Are they not playing at the Jerry Dome?
Yeah, they are.
It's 85,000 seats. Okay, they get 70,000, and upstairs you can get in for $50. I think that's awesome. Every game has to be sold out. Every game, and every game has to be $150 get in to sit in the nosebleeds. I don't jive with that.
Well, I've never understood the concept of, and this goes to the TV rating stuff, where like you and me, people like us who have no stake in it whatsoever, complain about TV ratings. Like, nobody's going to watch. Like, who cares? You're not affected by it. You don't benefit from it. So why would it matter to you? And it's the same thing there. The only valid criticism I've seen from coaches is, I think Dan Lanning said this either yesterday or the day before.
I like this. This is a complaint I will get behind.
The national championship should not be on January 19th. They do drag these out for a very long time. There's no reason why we didn't get college football last weekend.
Does FCS, do they take a break? Or do they start the tournament like right away?
No, they take a break between the national championship game. I know that because that, I believe, is this coming up Monday. Okay. The only reason I know that is Storm is going to be on the sideline for it.
I don't hate that. But you can go right from the season and have continuity and keep playing football.
Of course.
And Dan Lanning said about the current schedule, he's the Oregon coach, there's clearly a better way. Every playoff game should be played every single weekend until you finish the season. The season ends January 1st. We've given up some of our days to the NFL. Saturday should be sacred for college football. Every Saturday through the month of December should belong to college football, in my opinion. He's right.
Yes.
F the NFL.
And can I say,
by the way, the NFL is going to, we're going to get to this later. The NFL this week found itself in a real weird position. They don't have enough games that matter.
Sure.
So their TV partners are like, we're paying billions of dollars and this is the crap you're giving us? Sorry. We're not going to say it, but we value some of the new partners more than the old partners. And college football should not be backing off Saturdays.
Well, to that point, it's a calculated risk. But in the NFL, how often do we get to these late season games and you're watching Malik Willis versus Tyler Huntley on a big game in a big stage? And you're like, what the hell is this? You're watching three Christmas games with three backups with really nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to your point, if I'm college football, it's the calculated risk of, yeah, there's a good chance these games might suck. Yeah,
steal it back.
Yes, go.
That's your day.
The NBA did it on Christmas.
Screw Goodell.
Yep.
And that guy needs to be, you know, he doesn't actually need to be because someone already rushed in there and started, you know, tried to shoot up the building. But everyone needs to be punched in the face every once in a while.
Oh,
he needs to be like the proverbial, is that the way it is? Yeah, proverbial versus literal. He needs to get a pop in the mouth every once in a while, like, hey, you've overstepped, NFL. We're football, too. And college football is great.
It is.
College football
not
in a lot of ways is better than the NFL. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. This will be one of my lines. College football is better than the National Football League in terms of competitive balance because, they're, again, to go back to my point, this era, if you don't have a quarterback, you can get a quarterback. If you're in the NFL, you don't have a quarterback, good luck. You might not have one for 10 years.
And
I haven't had one for 40-plus years with the Jets. I've had 2-year runs with like three guys. 45 years.
I thought you were saying, Ethan Kelly McManus wasn't he with your.
No, record? No, I meant the Jets.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought you were talking about Rutgers.
But the mobility of players,
sure,
with a little bit of cash and good scouting, you can dream in college football. You can move from the middle to the top, the bottom to the middle. I mean, one of the great stories, they did it again today, right, Vandy?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, we have Justin Watkins nice enough to come in here on New Year's. This is his day that he's on Wednesdays. I can't wait to get into that one. That there's a court case that Diego Pavia possibly could keep playing college football, which I think I'm mostly in on.
I mean, with these basketball players, why couldn't he?
You're right. They're breaking new barriers now.
They're eventually going to become employees. But going back to the ratings, just
sorry,
taking
I'm all
the
over the place. I'm so fired up for this game tonight and the system. I love this.
You won't shut up. to the point about the ratings, though. You're going to lose that battle. But why not try to just eat into it and just take your day and remain in that spot?
Yeah.
You know, I think the NBA deserves credit for digging their heels in on Christmas and saying no, because there's people who are like, you should move to Christmas Eve. No, why would we? We're going to do this. And it's the same thing with college football because you're going to have your base of people who are going to watch those. And on a day in which you have a quarterfinals or whatever it is going up against some week 16 games in the National Football League, yeah, those NFL games matter, but yours are elimination games in college football playoffs. Those are things that people will gravitate toward and watch as well.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to do our Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. We do that on Fridays, but we're off this Friday. So we've got multiple hundreds of bucks available because no one has picked the slate of three straight-up winners correctly so far. It's brought to you by Dollar Loan Center, and it's coming up in 15 minutes.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Early start to the show here on New Year's Eve. Von Tobel's here. It's Cofield. Justin Watkins, Legal Insider, fantasy football champion. He's very proud of that. He's coming up in about 30 minutes. A lot of legal stuff to go into. I fear to go into it. I'm such a glass overflowing guy about college football. I love everything about it. But I do like griping about the gripers, which is kind of weird. I really get a lot of pleasure out of that one. How excited are you for the drama that could unfold in another double tank spot where the Chiefs have clearly packed it in? Which should infuriate people, because the Chiefs doing this and moving up in the draft is really scary. Like, we're all hoping the Chiefs go away for good, but the Chiefs moving up in the draft, they're usually pretty damn good in the draft. But Raiders and Chiefs, and just the nerves on the Raiders side, they're pretty much locked into the one or two spot, but at the one spot, at least you control your own destiny. If you want to trade it, you get max value at one. Are you nervous? Do you want to see a little bit of drama going into the game?
No, the fact that one or two, you'll get a quarterback, it would seem, is not that bad, although I think you'd prefer to get Dante Moore, who I think is actually going to be the first pick, Fernando Mendoza. I think the general thought when we come out of the college football season is quarterback who wins the Heisman has to be the first pick, and then evaluators actually start to work on it and go, oh, yeah, no.
You know what? For all we know, and I'll say this a billion times before the draft, I don't think they care about most of what happened in your college career. Evaluation begins once they get their hands on you, and Ty Simpson could be the number one.
No, of course. I just mean the general.
I don't remember Jaden Daniels at this point in the season. Jaden Daniels being talked about as a number two pick. He's one of those guys who raced up the charts.
Well, and that's what I mean. I think our general conversation, the mouth breathers don't know how to evaluate these guys. Right. Our assumption is just that it's Fernando Mendoza. The betting market has him as the favorite. We all just kind of discuss it. When the reality is, really looking at them, I think Dante Moore has a chance to be the best one. But regardless, I guess you're a little nervous because we don't know who their guy is, who's at the top of their board. And if you're not two or if you're not one, then obviously there's the chance that you cannot get your guy. However minuscule it is, there is a chance that that might happen. And so you want to be able to get it done. I would say, though, that I don't know if I would agree with your premise that I'm nervous if the Chiefs move up in the draft. Oh, the last few years, what exactly have they hit out of the park with this draft, with these drafts?
I think they nailed it on the Josh Simmons kid. He just got hurt.
Okay, there's one of many.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to look through their recent drafts to see if they've been a disaster. They're generally pretty good, and they're generally confident enough that they keep drafting fill-in so they can let guys who come up with big money ask after four years that they can move on. There is a chance. This is all an elaborate lead into the possibility that there is a chance the Raiders could have the number one pick locked up before the game. Now, they need a lot to happen. So they need the Giants to win against Dallas. Could happen. Giants seem bullish on winning. Mm-hmm. Good for them. Other games, they need these losers. Seattle to lose to San Fran. Okay. Cleveland to lose to Cincinnati. All right. Atlanta to lose to New Orleans. Along with the Giants win, and they have the number one pick locked up.
Sure.
It's Dunsky. There's no drama.
Or they can just lose.
Raiders, I never know what's going on over at Raiders facility.
No, they turned a leaf last week.
Are you
that
sure?
was brilliant. Are you serious? They put their guys on IR.
What they
see you later.
In theory, it was great.
It was fantastic. It was one of the best things they've done
forever. Very unpredictable week to week.
No.
They have been shamed into, Max Crosby's like, I'm playing this week. Okay, Max, you know what? We don't want you to storm out.
No, he's home.
We want you to be happy.
No shot. They're done. They understand what's at play here. Also, I don't understand what Crosby's thing is. You know how this works. What is your expectation? I just don't understand why you constantly keep throwing out this company line of I'm here to win championships. You're nowhere near it. You need the best assets possible to make this happen. Your window is so very clearly past where the Raiders actually are. And then you're going to throw this fit publicly and put the video up of you putting up jump shots to throw the team under the bus? I don't understand what we're doing here. This is the goal. This is what you should do. We've been begging you to do it forever.
And they've screwed it up year after year.
You could have Jaden Daniels. You could have even Caleb Williams. You could have any of these guys. Yep. If you did what we were asking you to do. And now...
And what is the norm now in the NFL?
It's that.
And the only way it gets a spotlight shined on it is if someone like you flips out.
Yes. And by the way, look at quarterbacks in the past and what they've done these last few years in their first years with their respective teams. We saw Jaden Daniels go to the NFC Championship game. We saw C.J. Stroud get to the divisional round. We saw these quarterbacks come in. The turnarounds can be insanely quick if you do it the right way. Do it! But Mr. Max Crosby's got to be mad about it and then throw the team under the bus with his video of him playing basketball. I just don't get it.
Patriots are good now. Bears are good now. Took the Jags a little while to get the right coach. Jags are good now. Texans are good now. Hell, Lovey actually tried to pull a Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did at the end of the season. He's like, nah, I'm not losing the last game. You know, still worked out for him. All those teams have turned things around with a quarterback at the top of the draft.
The Colts? Oh, no.
Well, but the Colts are a good example of they're not.
You got to get the quarterback right, too.
We got it. Yeah, they were up there. They blew it.
Richardson was the fourth pick.
But you can also blow it.
Yes,
you can also get the.
But
wrong
the whole
guy.
Point is, you need a guy. Yeah. You got to go. You've got to do that every year in the offseason. I say the same thing about this team. They're spinning their wheels. Mm-hmm. They're going to get some veteran to try to plug a hole that is so massive. Even a single veteran won't fill it. At least I'll say this, and you could call it favoritism. At least with the Colts, my favorite team. There is at least a legitimate case to be made, as was proven through the first 9 games of the season, that they had a hole that just needed to be filled with a competent quarterback that would make them a competent team. Then the injury struck and everything fell apart. The Raiders were never that. And they need to get a lot of talent.
And
you do it this way.
And everyone on board.
Yes.
Stop playing games. Stop having rifts with the front office, the coach, all between the coaches, the coordinators. Just get on the same page. And it starts with the players. It's hard enough to get the front office from the owner on down on the same page. Now we got players who are going to go step out of line and get all dramatic.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Okay, it's time now for the Dollar Loan Center Pick Contest. One lucky caller. It's going to be caller number 4, James. 364-1100, 364-1100. We'll get a chance to pick 3 games straight up. No spread. We generally pick pretty close games. There's enough games this weekend that mean something. So one lucky caller gets in, 364-1100. You pick all 3 games correctly, and you're going to get a pretty good cash prize. This thing has been growing throughout the season. We haven't had a winner in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. The games we're going to go with, John, for the Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest are Bucks-Panthers, Seahawks-Niners, Ravens-Steelers. Not easy.
High stakes games. You should have picked a game that had nothing going for it whatsoever.
I was thinking about Eagles and Commies because it would be just a mental pretzel.
Tanner McKee? Actually, that's easy. McKee's going to get it done.
I have another one of my bets at stake, and we make a lot of bets on the show. We never pay them off.
We will. Justin's coming in, right?
He is actually, and that's why I was really happy that he agreed to do New Year's Eve because you guys have that bet.
We have 2? You guys did it the other time. You forgot what the other one was.
Okay, well, you know what? Don't even tell me. 364-1100.
Both went in my favor.
Caller 4. We'll get a chance here to pick these 3 games. The bet that I remember was Patriots over 9?
Over 9.5.
Over 9.5.
He tried to do some legalese and was like, well, we said 10 plus, and then they got like a million.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
They have. I think they're the most successful team. No, they're not. There's actually, who was plus 5.5? Oh, Seattle. There's 3 teams in the league that have gone 4.5 wins over their total.
Yep.
Bears, Jags, Patriots. Seahawks have actually exceeded the total by 5.
Yep.
Broncos by 3.5. There is a correlation, though, to easy schedules. But, hey, that's what
part of
I'm sure you were picking that when you said, I couldn't believe that you were going over the 9.5. I think you said you were confident over 10.5 or 11.
We said 10.5 was like the max number, and as you mentioned, it was really not even belief in the Patriots. It's just that the schedule was so easy. And by the way, it got easier.
It's crazy
because some of the teams on the schedule were worse than you thought.
Yep. Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. James is with us. He's got three games to pick. He picks them successfully straight up, and he's going to get a good cash prize here. What's up, James? It's Cofield. It's JVT. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Steve. Hello, JVT. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What are you doing tonight? You getting crazy?
No, sir. I'll be spending the night at home with my wife.
That's smart. Amateur hour out there. Okay, here we go. Let's not be an amateur on the football picks. We got to nail three winners here. Bucks,
yes, sir.
Bucks and Panthers.
I'm going to go with the Bucks.
Why?
It's obviously they're in desperation mode, and I don't feel like it's necessarily the right side, I'm going to go with the Bucks anyways. I believe in Baker. I think he can make it happen.
Listener James making three picks. Game two, Seahawks and Niners.
Yeah, that's a difficult game too. I'm gonna try the Seahawks. I think the 49ers. I think the Seahawks are a bit healthier, and if they win that game, they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Sunday night
and
football.
Maybe for the Niners as well.
I'm sorry, James. Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the Seahawks.
Okay, Bucks and Seahawks. Sunday Night Football, Ravens and Steelers. Maybe both coaches are at stake here. Playoff spot is up for grabs. Ravens and Pittsburgh.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Ooh! Wow. Not a lot of people.
Yeah, those coaches might be changing seats next year.
Can you imagine if there was a trade? Wouldn't that be
awesome? Yeah, it'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. All right, James. Well, we'll keep track of this, and if you win, you're getting a boatload of cash. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a listener to the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I listen every day. I love you guys.
Thanks, James. We love you, too.
Happy New Year, James.
You can be comfortable as a male saying I love you.
I was about to.
You've been trained on the show.
Yeah. I think was the one that was training you because you never told Xavier I love you back.
We eventually got there. Mm. We came to grips with it. We appreciate it. We appreciate all of our regulars. We probably should close it. Should we do that? Should that be a resolution in 2026?
Say I love you every time?
To every guest.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay, who would be most uncomfortable?
You think? Adam.
Well, no, the guest.
Oh,
not,
the guest.
Not the host. I'm not saying I love you every day at the end of the show. You guys get paid. These people do it for free.
We do.
Okay, we're gonna eliminate. We're not doing Shannon Kelly.
No,
that's too awkward.
Okay.
I don't know that
of your other regulars.
And I don't know that because of the connection that I necessarily need to say I love you to Nick Bogdanovich or Chuck Esposito or Ray Cleaver.
I mean, Nick would be the funniest one.
He would be very uncomfortable.
I don't even know.
He came in. He did you. A spot live once. I think that should be another thing. Live spots, when we do see them, absolutely give them a hug, mm-hmm. but not a bro hug.
Yeah.
Not a bro like hug. A good... Pull them in and kind of, if you want to lay your head on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I love you. I whisper to him.
You do the whisper part. I'm not going to do that. That might get a little too weird. 2026, our first show resolution. Well, I mean, we could practice next hour, right? Justin's coming in.
Yeah.
What's going to be more comfortable?
Justin's going to be
I love you at the end of the spot or a good hug?
Justin is at the top of the list or near the top of the list, I think, of the ones who would be most comfortable with it.
He's got girls.
Doesn't mean he would be
He's
comfortable.
Got daughters.
But I think he would be among the ones that are the most comfortable.
We're going to try it. I think that's a good move.
What about Steve Kim?
I don't think Steve would be that comfortable. But I think we could get him, kind of warm him up to it at some point. He'd get it. I do love his spot.
What kind of lib nonsense is this telling me you love me?
All right, coming up next, the sad reality of NFL Week 18 is Black Monday's on the way. And Harbaugh and Tomlin could be on the move, could be out of coaching. Pete Carroll locally, there could be a change there. Let's talk about the guys who really are on the hot seats and what's realistic in terms of – there's already some rehires suggested, like immediate rehires. Like they could lose a job and get a job somewhere else. We got some names for you.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Okay, what did you think of what I was saying in my discussion there with listener James, and you even said it too, that coaching gigs could be up for grabs in the Ravens and Steelers game. What's the reality on John Harbaugh being fired?
I would say it's very minuscule. I was having this debate with somebody the other day. I was like, I think you need a new, you need somebody new. You need a fresh set of eyes. You need a new voice in the locker room. And my response was, they had four straight seasons of double-digit wins. Mm-hmm. Everybody was injured this year, specifically.
They've had another year where they blew a bunch of games and their defense got beat to hell. And my follow-up on any, hey, they need a fresh voice, who? Yes. And then you have to go, is that person better than John Harbaugh?
Not a lot of great candidates out there.
And the other part of this is John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin would be the number one person on a coaching list everywhere.
Yes.
Almost everywhere. Immediately go to the top of the list. You're going to fire that guy? Because you need a fresh voice. Now, the Steelers thing's a little bit different. Because I think there's more of a groundswell from fans and media that they don't like winning every year, you know, 9 or 10 games. They want to win in the playoffs. They have a tradition of, they believe they have a tradition of winning. I don't know that he's going to voluntarily walk away if he's tired of it. I also think there's a carrot for him. People saying he may take a year off and go do TV. Does he want to do TV?
Tomlin?
By the way, would he be good on TV?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Why?
I mean, his I'm going to say stupid, but I mean this lovingly. His stupid phrases that he has all the time. You see, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was a great tweet from a Steelers beat writer. And it was, you know, Mike Tomlin will come into a press conference to say something like, we need to eat this soup, but all we have is forks and I need a spoon. And then he'll go sign a 2018 Pro Bowler. And then they signed Adam Thielen 2 weeks later. And that's exactly what he does. He says this stuff all the time. I think he would be really good on television. I don't know if he would be like an analyst or an in-booth guy, but on a desk of 10 guys, which they for some reason keep doing in all of these studio shows, yeah, absolutely. He'd be great. But I also think getting back to the original premise, I do think there is stronger cases to be made against Tomlin in that getting rid of him is the way to go than there is Harbaugh. With Harbaugh, yes, you have underperformed in the postseason, but you've had elite teams, teams that clearly could win the Super Bowl and have cultivated something with Lamar Jackson that team is consistently considered, when healthy, one of the better teams in the National Football League.
I think the number one thing going against Mike Tomlin, and it's sort of Belichickian, if Tomlin has been the overwhelming force on personnel, then that might be the reason you have to separate. Like if he's unwilling, like Belichick, they made it possible to throw it in Belichick's corner. Like, hey, Bill, you're not going to have personnel control. All right, I'm leaving. And someone in Pittsburgh probably has to tell Tomlin, Mike, you're not going to be in charge of personnel. You can't be the final voice. And then he might do what Belichick did, and he's like, nah, I'm going to go somewhere. I can do that somewhere else, and I'll move on.
The argument against Tomlin, though, is do you know what year it was when he last won a playoff game?
10-plus years.
It's 2016.
Okay, so we're coming up on the 10th year.
Yeah. That, to me, is the argument. It's great that he can get the most out of whatever roster he's put together, but that has meant nothing because he hasn't been able to win playoff games. And that is the problem. If he was getting these ragtag bunch of guys to the postseason and stealing a wild card game every once in a while and being able to get it done, that's fine. But since that 2016 year in which he won 2 playoff games, he's been to the postseason 5 times. He's won no games. That's not anything that I think you're really looking at and going, yeah, this is a guy that I think is heading in the right direction.
See if you agree with these other coaches around the league that their seat is red hot. First, Jonathan Gannon with the Cardinals.
I think it's warm, but I don't think you're moving on yet. The problem is he's supposed to be a defensive guy, and that has not been getting better.
The crazy thing is since I almost called him Mayfield, since Jacoby Brissett took over for Kyler Murray, their offense has been pretty good.
And I think that's what he makes the case is, look, man, I haven't been given the best set of keys here, if you will, at the quarterback position.
That's what I'm saying.
The
defense bad?
The argument against him is the defense. The argument for him is he's been given a short stick when it comes to the offense, specifically the most important position.
Pete Carroll, beyond red hot, scorching.
I would assume that he's gone.
Some guys who are heating up. Mike McDaniel.
Heating
Dolphins.
Up.
I'm just using one list. They're using the terminology.
So 2 weeks ago, there was a report that he was coming back. And then they got smoked by the Bengals. And my whole are you sure that you want this? Because I don't even think a win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is something you're pointing to and going, see, I still got it. The Bucs are an absolute dumpster fire right now. I don't know why, because the Dolphins are going towards a rebuild. Tua's going to be gone. They don't have that much talent. Why would you trust him to rebuild everything when it fell apart under his watch?
Heating up. Zach Taylor.
Nah, they're starting at the end of the season hot. Every year, they win like the last four games when they've been eliminated, and we think they're going to be incredible. I would assume that that is hot. And that you can make the case that he should be gone. The question becomes the same thing with Tomlin. Who's in charge of building that defense? For many years now, you have pointed the finger at many defensive coordinators and said, this is your fault. I'm a Colts fan. I watched Lou Anarumo do a really good job with Indianapolis this year and that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't him, and your defense didn't get any better. So how much of that do you put on the shoulders of Zach Taylor?
Miles Simmons said he brought up what he thinks is the number one factor yesterday when talking about Zach Taylor and the future with the Bengals. Mike Brown is a cheap ass.
Sure.
He won't spend the money to get rid of him.
I think that's probably a fair point.
Heating up. Todd Bowles, Buccaneers.
Got to be gone. Especially
got to be gone.
If they lose this week. Because, again, it's the same thing. What is supposed to be Todd Bowles' strength? He's supposed to be a defensive guy. That has become one of the worst defenses in the NFL. It has gotten worse year to year. You've added nothing for this offense. And now, in a very winnable division, you find yourself in the midst of a losing streak, and you're scrapping to the point where you have put yourself at a spot. You could win that game on Saturday and still not win the division.
Would Bowles ever be a head coach again?
I got to think no. He's had a couple cracks at it and hasn't gone well.
I think this guy will get another shot, and if I'm this dude, I would root to get fired.
Bowles?
Red hot seat, Kevin Stefanski.
Yes, I would agree. Get me out of here.
Which part?
No, yeah. that he would be a good coach.
Yep.
He has consistently gotten champagne out of a rock with this offense.
Out of a rock?
Every single time. Ooh. He's been given nothing. If you actually put him in a system where he has talent, a team that is built up around him, I absolutely think he would be a very good head coach.
This list was put up about 5 days ago. Scorching! Raheem Morris with the Falcons. Not so fast, my friend.
I still think there's a chance. I don't know if he's scorching. It's a hot seed. But Arthur Blank, you talk about weird owners. Arthur Blank's a weird dude, too.
And then one to watch. Aaron Glenn.
Give him one more chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come?
Good special teams. They're a good special teams team.
Defense. An entire season without an interception. Almost no takeaway.